Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and this week we're going to be talking about the signs of the time that we're living in and the signs that the Bible tells us about. But specifically, we're going to be talking about the rise of the Nephilim. Now, I know you probably never heard of that or never thought about that, but the word Nephilim is the word giants. And one of the things that happened prior to Noah coming was the rise of the Nephilim, and the rise of Nimrod, the most mystical king in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you understand the rise of the Nephilim and the life of Nimrod, you're going to be in the dark about what's happening in the world and what's coming in the near future. Listen, you want to send this to everybody. You want every person you know to watch this. You're going to understand history. You're going to understand mythology. You're going to understand how religion got a lot of its lies when you understand the rise of the Nephilim. This 6-CD series that you're going to hear called When Grace Reigns and Darkness Prevails is one of the most practical teachings you're ever going to get about what's really happening in the world, about how things are going to unfold, and about how you as a believer can stand strong and live in victory no matter what happens. It's going to open your understanding on grace. It's going to open your understanding on end time events, and it is going to equip you to be a light in the darkness and have strength when everybody else is failing. All right, today's broadcast is going to be different than anything you've ever heard about the end times, but I'm telling you, you're going to start discovering pieces of the puzzle that have been weaving together into the fabric of wickedness that's going on in the world. But I want you to understand something. This series is about when grace reigns. And even though we're going to talk about some horrible things that are coming on planet Earth, it's important that you understand greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter what goes on out there. If you'll trust and tap into the life and power of God inside of you, I promise you, you will never encounter anything that's stronger than what's working inside of you. Now, we talked about the fact that Jesus said that in the end times, it was going to be just like it was in the days of Noah, where people were marrying and giving in marriage and all of these types of things were going on because people were just unaware. That normalcy bias thing was working in people's lives, and people just refused to see the end for what it was. And by the way, in the days of Noah, I want you to understand that people had over 1,000 years of God warning them that he was going to annihilate the world by water. Over 1,000 years of warnings, and people just said, it's never going to happen, it's never going to happen. Well, I got news for you. That's exactly what people, even Christians, are saying about the world that we're in today. But, you know, we want to understand some of the factors that were going on in the days of Noah so that we can understand what's going on now and so that we can guard our hearts. Because remember, you've got to believe the truth in your heart. And if you don't guard your heart, then with righteousness, and righteousness is where you believe the truth about who you are and what you have in the Lord Jesus. If you don't guard your heart with righteousness, then I got news for you. You will not connect with the life and power of God that's in you when the times come that you need to. So you want to persuade your heart of everything about who you are and what you have in the Lord Jesus. Genesis 6:5, it tells us that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I want you to realize that we are living in a day. And you know, I see it on television. I see it in advertising. I see it everywhere you go, where everything is based on sex. Everything is based on anti-God. Everything is based on anti-morals. Everything is an attack on values. It's like it's like there's an unspoken conspiracy among everybody that makes all of the movies. You know, the priests always look bad. The moral people always look stupid. You know, the 40-year-old virgin, as if there's something wrong with being a 40-year-old virgin. And everything that you see flooding out of the movies and on television on a weekly basis is something that puts down everything that's godly, everything that's biblical, everything that's moral, all of the values. You know, just the other day, they had the first ever in America, a threesome couple that were married. Three women were married. You know, you talk about destruction of the family. Whenever the basic core of family values is destroyed, then I got news for you. There's really not much left. So there's this incredible rise in individual corruption that was happening in the days of Noah. Well, we see all of that right now. You know, when the communists set out to overthrow America, their biggest and most difficult challenging was demoralization. And our country has been in a process of planned and systematic demoralization since the 40s. And all of that is designed to destroy our country, but on a bigger scale, it's designed to destroy us as individuals. So we don't see who we are in Jesus, we don't trust God, we don't trust God's promises, and we've become slaves to the world system. Now, in addition to what was happening in the world in Noah's day with individuals, there was also a rise in political corruption. And we see this with the rise of the Nephilim. And you say, what in the world is a Nephilim? Well, Nephilim is the Hebrew word for giant. And there were literally giants in the earth. And people can make fun of that. People can act like they're stupid, but I got news for you. Just like everything else in the Bible, it's all been proven true. Right now in the Middle East, they're finding in the caves of the Middle East, they're finding skeletons of giants, of people that are anywhere from 12 to 30 feet tall. And this is the real deal. And as always, science always tries to make the Bible look stupid. And in the end, the Bible always prevails in the information being correct. The problem is sometimes we just don't understand the information. In Genesis 6, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." So what you begin to see is these angels that were supposed to be here to be servants and protectors of mankind. And these angels or spirit beings somehow were able to transform themselves and become physical beings in this world. And they began to have sex with human beings. And so we have a hybrid human, subhuman or race that begins to get generated from this. And Genesis 6:4 goes on to say, as a result of this, it says, "There were giants on the earth in those days, also afterwards when the Son of God came into the daughters of men, and they were born, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Now, I want you to understand something, that the offspring of these relationships between women and these angels or these fallen angels was some type of human species that was not only large but and physically strong and able to dominate the human race, but also that they had many abnormalities. As a matter of fact, one of the things that was common among the giants is that they would sometimes have six fingers and six toes. There's a lot of things that we know about them physiologically, as the Bible lays out. And so these fallen angels, one of the things that they did is they were the ones that began to instruct people on how to murder, how to dominate, how to control. They were the ones that established the values for gold and precious stones in the earth. And basically, they were the ones that brought corruption into the earth. They were the ones that brought anti-God thinking into the earth and presented the idea that you could have a better life apart from God than you could have in serving God, and that God absolutely could not be trusted. Now, it goes on to say in Genesis 6:9, it says, "Now this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when it says here that Noah was perfect in his generations, that word generations could just as well have been translated genealogies. You see, it had gotten down in the human race to the place to where there was only one godly man left whose genealogy, whose bloodline had not been corrupted by the Nephilim. And so in order for God to be able to bring a Savior to planet Earth, the bloodline of man had to be preserved. You see, we got this idea that everything God did in the Old Testament, he did because of wrath. He did because he was angry. He did because he was upset. I got news for you. Yes, God had wrath and God expressed wrath, but God was still motivated by love more than he was motivated by anything else. Because if God had not brought the flood and wiped out the corrupt generations, then the truth is the world would have already been destroyed and would have been conquered by Lucifer. You know, I've not yet seen the new movie on Noah, but some of my friends have. And basically, the ones who have a good understanding of Scripture said that basically this movie, Noah, made you feel sorry for the demonic beings that were trying to oppress the earth and made God look bad because he was the one bringing the flood. You know, that's the way Hollywood does it. That's the way television does it. That's the way religion does it. And, you know, the real truth is I'm hearing from people who call themselves grace preachers and teachers who look at the God of the Old Testament and really consider him to be mean, to be harsh, as if God somehow changed between the Old and the New Testaments. Let me tell you something. Anytime you think God is hard or mean or unjust in what he's doing, number one, you just don't know the Bible, and number two, you just don't know God, and you don't trust who God really is. If you trust who God really is, even when you can't understand some of these things, you would still realize, I may not understand this, but God is love more than he is anything else. Now, so God had to preserve a bloodline, a pure human bloodline, in order for the Savior of the world to come. And he did that through a man who had perfect genealogy, but also a man who was just and upright and righteous. So in Genesis 6:11, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked up to heaven, So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. Now I want you to understand something. Another big factor that had risen at the time of Noah was violence. You know, Jesus prophesied that there would be wars and that there would be rumors of wars, and that would be one of the things that would be a mark of the end times. The book of Revelation, you know, it talks about a particular horse being released, and that when this horse was released, that peace was taken away from the earth. You know, some people believe that when President George Bush created the Patriot Act and created the War on Terror, that it removed any possibility of ever having peace on earth. It definitely removed any possibility of ever having peace in our country ever again. Because from this day, from that day forward, any person that doesn't toe the government line is going to be considered a terrorist. And any person who has ideas that are different from the government can be in prison, they can be murdered, they lose all of their rights. Basically, our Constitution was wiped out. But worse than that, it created the opportunity for the United States to go all over the world declaring war on anyone that they wanted to declare war on. I want you to understand, it's not all our fault, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not anti-American. I love my country, but I want to tell you something. Every country in the world almost today is inflamed with the fear of war, being plagued by war, having war on its verges. Within nations that seemingly are living at peace, they have the indigenous people that are rising up because of the unjust treatment by their governments. I'm telling you, nation against nation, culture against culture, all around the world. And this is the way it was in the time of Noah. There was violence in the earth, and the whole earth was corrupted. And you know, one of the interesting things that God warned against in the times of Noah was creating hybrid food and creating hybrid animals. You know, the Word of God warns against this all the way back at the very beginning. Here we are at a time whenever our government and some other governments of the world are trying to force GMO, genetically modified organisms, upon us and into our food system and give us these hybrid foods. And these foods have no nutritional value. Studies show that if mice eat them for 30 days, I believe it is, they will die if they have nothing else in their diet. So you had moral corruption of people. You had violence. You had the corruption of the food. You even had corruption of the animals by crossbreeding and this sort of thing. And then what you also have after the flood, you have the coming of the forerunner of the Antichrist. So there was a flood, and God told Noah to pick out a wife, or actually God picked out a wife for Noah. And then just before entering into the ark, which, by the way, we got new scientific evidence about the ark and everything the Bible tells us about the ark and about the number of animals it was supposed to support, we now know it is totally possible that it could be done. Another aha for the scientists of the world who don't believe the stories of the Bible. But so prior to going into the ark, Noah had to pick out wives for his three sons. There is a possibility that one of the wives that he picked out actually was of a corrupted bloodline, because we know that after the flood, there were other Nephilim that were born to the sons of men. And we know that these Nephilim were very, very involved in anti-God, anti-Christ behavior and sought to destroy all of the worshipers of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 10, after the flood, we have the rise of one of the most dark, mysterious, evil beings in the entire Bible, who really gives rise to all anti-God religions, to all corrupt religions of the world. They were birthed and patterned and came into the earth as a result of this one man and his mother. Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, talks about a man called Nimrod. It says, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, the name Nimrod means rebellion. Nimrod was born of the wicked offspring of his mother, and then after he was born, he married his mother. His mother is where the worship of the Queen of Heaven came from. The whole religious idea of worshiping the mother of God originated with the mother of Nimrod. And so Nimrod then establishes a city called Babel. Well, the word Babel means confusion. And so one of the things right off the bat that you start recognizing is that this pre-Antichrist figure, first of all, he is born of a wicked seed. His father is the father of all lies, who is Lucifer. And we know that he builds his kingdom on rebellion or on iniquity. In other words, rebellion against God. And being a hunter before God was a negative thing. He hunted men to take them away from God, to force them into worshiping him and becoming a part of his kingdom. He forced people into his kingdom. And he brought people into what was a total state of confusion. And they set about to build a city and a tower. And I'll tell you, this city and this tower was something that was going to be supernatural. Genesis 11 tells us, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, there is this archaic idea that they were attempting to build a tower that was going to be tall enough to protect them from the flood? Well, first of all, from what we know about the Tower of Babel, from what's been passed down about it, it was not tall enough to do that. And so you start wondering, what was this tower? What was the real purpose of this tower? Well, many people believe that reaching heaven was basically creating a portal like you would see if you remember the series Stargate or the movie Stargate, it was like a portal that would make it possible for these demonic beings to cross over from the natural to the supernatural realm. And that what they were seeking to do was to once again make it possible for these beings to come into the earth, to corrupt the earth, to overthrow all worship of God. Now, you notice that it says that all the people, they were of one language. Now, this is really, really important here because there was such a unity in understanding how the world really worked. You see, I'll tell you, all through history, from the pharaohs until now, corrupt leaders have tried to figure out the real secrets of how God put the world together so that they could dominate the world through knowing these secrets. And it is no different today. Hitler sought for all of these artifacts to give him the power to rule the world. And it is no different among our Western nations. They are all seeking for the understanding of these secrets that will make it possible for them to dominate the entire world. And so in Genesis 11:6, it says, "And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." Now, they have the ability to do things beyond any human comprehension, and they have the intention to do that for evil. So in verse 8, it says, of Genesis 11, it says, "The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." Now, according to Jewish history, when the Lord confounded the languages there were 70 different languages. And this was also during the time that the continents divided and were separated. So this is why you have findings on all of these different continents that don't seem like that they should be there. There seems like there shouldn't be no possible way that people could have shared knowledge about building the Mayan pyramids and the Egyptian pyramids and the pyramids in China and even the pyramids here in the United States. But at one time, all of these land masses were together. But basically, whenever these 70 languages came about, all of these people still knew about the giants, but they knew about Nimrod, and they gave Nimrod a new name based on the language that they now spoke. And so what you have here is the beginning of what we know of as Greek mythology. There were 70 different names for Nimrod. And you start realizing that all of these Greek mysteries about gods and giants and Hercules and all of these supernatural beings were based on real characters. They were based on the rise of the Nephilim. The Nephilim were in the earth, and they were these supernatural characters that did all of these supernatural feats and that were at war and even fought against each other. Now, all of the anti-God nations in the Old Testament that God said to be destroyed were nations that were basically established from these lines of people. The land of Canaan was settled by giants, and by the time Abraham and his offspring, the children of Israel, by the time they reached the land of Canaan, there were still giants in the land when they got there. And all of these nations were anti-God nations that sought to overthrow any worship of God. And you start realizing that every nation that has ever oppressed the children of Israel and been opposed to Christianity has been one of these anti-God nations that still worship some concept of Nimrod. Osiris, the sun god in Egypt, was actually another name for Nimrod. They oppressed God's people and they were one of the greatest enemies of God's people. But what we fail to realize is that today, through different names, The worship of Nimrod is carried on. It's carried on by secret organizations. It's carried on by secret families who intend to this very day to overthrow planet Earth and eradicate all knowledge of God. Come back with me in the mentoring moment. We're going to share some things that help you know the good side of this story. Man, I hope you're going to join me this year for World Changer Weekend. This is going to be the first year we ever open it up to other people. You know why? Because there are people everywhere that want to change the way the world sees God. And even though you might not be a part of our World Changer team, we want you here. We're going to be sharing on the most important things. Alan Spiegel is going to be talking to you about how to stay focused whenever you're going through hardship and distress. Bob and Audrey Meiser are going to be sharing about experiencing the love of God every single day. Clint Byers is going to be sharing about living in the renewed mind. Jimmy Bratcher is going to be sharing about influencing the world around you. And I'm going to be sharing about the spiritual realities of the new covenant. I want to tell you something. It is essential that you have your heart established. July the 18th through the 20th, there is no registration fee, but you do have to register to come. Go to our website, impactministries.com, or click on your app and go there, and you can register, and we'll reserve a place for you, and we're going to have a great worship, a great time beyond anything you've ever experienced. My new series, When Grace Reigns and Darkness Prevails, is going to equip you to be able to walk in the grace, power, ability, and capacity of God in any situation. Whether we're facing the end or whether we're just facing incredibly difficult financial times, you need to have the power of God working inside you. And you're going to understand the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the world more than you've ever understood it. And you're going to be able to avoid the entrapments that are coming on planet Earth, because the grace of God is going to strengthen you. Now, when you're looking at all these similarities between what was going on in the time of Noah and what's going on at the time that we're living in now, the main thing you want to remember is that God sent someone to build an ark. He sent someone to prepare people so that they would know how to be delivered from the oppression and the destruction of those times. God will not leave us without a way out. So there's going to be a continual rise in individual wickedness. Now listen to me. You've got to guard your heart lest you get vexed, lest you get consumed with the things that are in the world, lest your heart gets overcharged, the Bible says, with satiety and drunkenness. In other words, really, I think that drunkenness is more emotional than it is anything else, just getting intoxicated with the things of the world. We live in this world, but we don't need to be of this world. The second thing that we want to look for is this, is the rise of governments that seek to outlaw and annihilate the worship of God. And if you think that's not happening in our country, you are really fooling yourself. Every single day I'm reading reports all across the nation of people being arrested for praying, for carrying a Bible, crosses being torn down. All rights related to worship of the true God are being taken away from us, while people who worship other gods are being given more and more freedoms, and their freedoms are being protected while ours are not. So that's one of those similarities. But third, remember, the righteous who follow God will always find their way to safety. So I told you last week, man, you've got to develop the ability to listen to God. Start practicing obedience as a way of life. Whenever you sense the Holy Spirit leading you to do something, you do it without question, and then just let the Holy Spirit teach you things as you see how it unfolds, and you start learning the difference between when it's just your emotions and when it's really God. And I got news for you. When it goes bad, it's not God. When it comes out a mess, it's not God, or the way you did it wasn't a godly way to do it. Learn to follow God in your heart. Number two, learn to live by grace. We talked about this last week, fasting, saying no to sin, empowering yourself by the grace of God. Number three, keep hope alive, and remember that God sent an ark to deliver the righteous, and we will be delivered.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.